If you have your Bibles this morning, you can turn to Deuteronomy chapter 30. By the time you get to Deuteronomy 30, Israel is at the doorstep, if you will, of the promised land. They are days away from stepping in and across the Jordan, miraculously taking possession of Jericho, and then throughout the book of Joshua, the rest of the cities, the rest of the land. Moses is soon to die. A good portion of his final words will be a reminder to the people, a reminder of God's law. Really, in some ways, the entire book of Deuteronomy is that. Remember, this is a new generation. The old that was delivered out of Egypt, the old that received the commands of God from Mount Sinai, for their lack of faith, for their lack of trust in God, that He had given them the promised land. Do you remember the 10 spies who influenced the entire nation with their bad report? They're like giants. We're like grasshoppers. We can't do it. We can't attack. We can't go in. Do you remember the entire community wept and cried out, "If only we had died in Egypt." They grumbled against Moses. They wanted to stone him. "We should choose a new leader to take us back to Egypt." They rebelled against the Lord. And do you remember the Lord's response? He wanted to destroy them all and make a new people out of Moses. But Moses interceded. So instead of destroying them, God forgave his people, but also declared that apart from Joshua and Caleb, not one of that generation would set foot in the promised land. They would die. They would all die over the next 40 years wandering through the wilderness. Deuteronomy 30 now, again, we are at the end of those 40 years. The old generation that rebelled, they have died. And now this is a new generation that needs to be told, that needs to be reminded. They are God's people in a covenant relationship with God. And throughout the book, then, what that covenant looks like, what that covenant demands of them to know God's law, to obey God's law. Just before his song proclaiming the name of the Lord, praising the greatness of God, just before his blessing upon all the tribes of Israel, just before his final, final words, Moses will speak these words in Deuteronomy 30 and verse 15. "See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction." Verse 19. "This day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life so that you and your children may live." Let me share with you really just two things this morning. First, this, the choice given. There was no doubt but that this time the children of Israel would take possession of the promised land. There would be no turning back in fear or rebellion. The walls of Jericho would fall. The land would be taken. In the very next book, again, under the leadership of Joshua, throughout the book of Joshua, the land would be divided and each tribe would get its part, its piece of the land. The choice given was not whether or not to go in, but rather instead how they would live once they were in. I think there is a choice set before us. Initially, ultimately, for all humanity, there's a choice. Enter the promised land of salvation and forgiveness of sin, or stay in the wilderness in sin, slavery, and bondage. Jesus has done for us the work of salvation. He paid it all for us at the cross. But still, there is a choice given to us, isn't there? A decision we must make whether or not we will accept him, whether or not we will receive his grace, whether or not we'll accept his mercy, whether or not we'll let his atoning work at Calvary save us and set us free. Beyond that, having accepted Jesus, having become like Israel, then the people of God. I believe it now, still, there is a choice set before us. Every day, even in some ways, every moment of every day. Not whether or not we'll enter this promised land of salvation we have already. Instead, this: how we'll live once we're in. Let me make this very personal. It's a choice set before me. Another can't make it for me. Circumstances don't excuse or exempt me. Every day, any given moment of every day, a choice, a decision to be made. Here it is, very practically this morning. What I'll say, how I'll act, how I'll respond. Will I let people see Jesus in me? Will they see good works that will make them want to glorify my Father in heaven? Will I demonstrate faith? Will I walk by faith? That's what the just, that's what the saved do. They make the choice to walk by faith, not by sight. Will I live in love for you, my brother, my sister, for even everyone that I'd encounter? Will their interaction with me be one of love and grace every day? Any given moment of every day, a choice. You make the choice. No one makes it for you. No one makes you choose what you choose. You can't blame another for how you've chosen. Circumstances don't exempt you. Circumstances don't excuse you. I made all the bad choices, but it's been a rough week. So surely it's okay. It's not okay. Every day, any given moment of every day, a choice. And this choice, this is no small, no insignificant thing. Once more, Deuteronomy 30, verse 15. I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. Verse 19, I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Do you see? Do you understand? Every day, any given moment of every day, a choice. And it's one between life and death. Blessings and curses. Prosperity and destruction. For the children of Israel, this was very dramatically and visually presented to them. Just about 30 miles north of Jerusalem are two mountains, a valley in between where the often read biblical city of Shechem was located. These two mountains directly across from each other, Mount Gerizim to the south, Mount Ebal to the north, they formed a sort of natural amphitheater within the valley. And this was the instruction from the Lord given to Moses. When the promised land was taken, the entirety of the law was to be read. And then six of the 12 tribes were together at Mount Gerizim, and they were to read, they were to declare there the choice that was life, that was blessing, that was prosperity. And the other six of the 12 tribes were together on Mount Ebal, and they were to read, they were to declare there the choice that was death, the curses, the destruction. So the law is read. than this from Mount Gerizim, the life, the blessing, the prosperity. Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 1. If you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow all his commands I give you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations on earth. All these blessings will come upon you and accompany you if you obey the Lord your God. You will be blessed in the city and blessed in the country. The fruit of your womb will be blessed, and the crops of your land and the young of your livestock, the calves of your herds and the lambs of your flocks, your basket and your kneading trough will be blessed. You will be blessed when you come in and blessed when you go out. The Lord will grant that the enemies who rise up against you will be defeated before you. They will come at you from one direction, but flee from you in seven. The Lord will send a blessing on your barns and on everything you put your hand to. The Lord your God will bless you in the land he's given you. The Lord will establish you as his holy people, as he promised you an oath, if you keep the commands of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. Then all the peoples on earth will see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they will fear you. The Lord will grant you abundant prosperity in the fruit of your womb, the young of your livestock, the crops of your ground, in the land he swore to your forefathers to give you. The Lord will open the heavens, the storehouse of his bounty, to send rain on your land in season and to bless all the work of your hands. You will lend to many nations, but will borrow from none. The Lord will make you the head, not the tail. If you pay attention to the commands of the Lord, your God, that I give you this day, and carefully follow them, you will always be at the top, never at the bottom. Remember, this is a choice. So with that, there was then this, the death, the curses, the destruction from Mount Ebal. Verse 15, however, if you do not obey the Lord your God and do not carefully follow all his commands and decrees I'm giving you today, all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. You will be cursed in the city and cursed in the country. Your basket and your kneading trough will be cursed. The fruit of your womb will be cursed, and the crops of your land, the calves of your herds, the lambs of your flocks. You will be cursed when you come in and cursed when you go out. The Lord will send on you curses, confusion, and rebuke in everything you put your hand to, until you are destroyed and come to sudden ruin because of the evil you have done in forsaking him. The Lord will plague you with disease until he has destroyed you from the land you are entering to possess. Every day, any given moment of every day, a choice. What I'll say, how I'll act, how I'll respond. Will people see all me, or will they see Jesus in me? Will there be any good that draws people to the Lord, that makes them want to know my God? Will there be the evidence of love, the evidence of faith, the evidence of grace, the evidence of acceptance, of forgiveness? And that choice, it's this important. It's one of life and death. It's one of blessing and cursing. It's one of prosperity or destruction. And things that would relate to the physical realm, if you will, that's Deuteronomy, right? Very physical, tangible kinds of things. It's also related to the spiritual realm. That's, in fact, more the New Testament context for us, and really maybe more than the Deuteronomy stuff for us. Deuteronomy would imply, make the right choice and you'll be rich. You'll be on top. You and everything you own will be blessed. You'll always have an abundance, never a lack. Listen, that could very well be true. This will always be true. Choose right and you'll experience a peace that you otherwise would not know. Choose right, and there'll be a grace upon your life, a comfort, a strength, a victory. If I can say it this way, the decision, the choice that lies before us, the life or death, the blessing or cursing, the prosperity or destruction. In Deuteronomy, it's all things in the physical realm. In the New Testament context, it's all things in the spiritual realm. In Deuteronomy, it's all things on the outside. In the New Testament context, it's all things on the inside. Do you understand this morning? Can we say the obvious? No matter what it looks like for our lives, every day, any given moment of every day, a choice, the life, the blessing, the prosperity, that's what we want. That's what we want every single time. That's the choice we want to make. Just before we move on, let me leave you with one other thought. This life or death, blessing or cursing, prosperity or destruction. This is where the fight for truth happens. Because the world, culture, the devil is presenting to you their choice. They've got your ear. This is life. Listen, my brother, my sister, but it's not life. It's death. This is where the blessing is. This is the prosperity, but it's not. Any way that is not his way. Listen to me, my friend. Any way that is not God's way, any choice that is not choosing him, it's cursing, it's destruction, it's death for you. I was reminded of this very specifically because of the words used in 2 Kings 18, King Hezekiah in Jerusalem. They're under attack. 185,000 Assyrian soldiers surround the city. And the enemy is talking. 2 Kings chapter 18 and verse 28. Then the commander stood and called out in Hebrew, "Hear the word of the great king, the king of Assyria. This is what the king says. Do not let Hezekiah deceive you. He cannot deliver you from my hand. Do not let Hezekiah persuade you to trust in the Lord when he says the Lord will surely deliver us. This city will not be given into the hand of the king of Assyria. Do not listen to Hezekiah. This is what the king of Assyria says. Make peace with me and come out to me. Then every one of you will eat from his own vine and fig tree and drink water from his own cistern until I come and take you to a land like your own, a land of grain and new wine, a land of bread and vineyards, a land of olive trees and honey." And listen, here it is. The enemy's talk to God's people, choose life and not death. Do you see? Do you understand? Every day, any given moment of every day, a choice. And God is telling you his way, choosing him, it's life. And the enemy is telling you his way, doing what you want, what culture tells you you should do, what culture tells you you can do, doing what feels good, doing what's best for you. The enemy is telling you, choose that. That's life. Listen, be careful, my brother, my sister. The enemy is lying to you. You have two voices presenting to you two choices, and yet both declaring to you, this is the way of life. Do you understand? One is lying. One's not the way of life. It's the way of death and destruction. It's the way of cursing, not blessing. And can I remind you, just for clarity's sake, the devil, he's a liar. When he speaks to you, he speaks his native tongue. It's lies. Lies upon lies upon lies. No easy way to say it. Too many Christians, maybe too many of us, we've let sin in. We've decided to be fine with the sin. Believe the sin. Support the sin. Celebrate the sin. Because we were presented with a choice. And rather than listen to God and to his word and let the truth of his word decide for us what was the life and what was the death, instead of that, we listened to the enemy. We believed his lie. We believed that the death and destruction was actually the life and the blessing for us. You might want to plug your ears because your pastor is just going to preach for a minute. Some of you are holding on to bitterness and unforgiveness because you think that's where life is found. And God's word tells you that's death. You're bringing death into your life because you won't forgive. The harm was great. The hurt severe. No one makes light of that. But the command of Scripture is clear. We're to forgive. Some of you are holding animosity towards a person because of the color of their skin, because of their nationality. And listen, you think you are doing what's right. You're thinking you're doing, well, that's just what I always was taught. That's just the way I grew up. You're bringing death into your life. Some of you are robbing God, keeping from Him the tenth that belongs to Him. Well, this is best for me. This is where prosperity is found. I've got to keep. I've got to have more for me. You're bringing death. You believe the devil who has lied to you. That's not the way of life. That's not the way of blessing. That's not the way of prosperity. Only God's way leads to those things. Listen, my brother, my sister, can I just say it this way? Listen to your pastor this morning. You have to know the word. Stop with the news. Stop with the culture. Stop with the social media. Stop with the public opinion polls and immerse yourself in God's word. What does God say about that? Because that's where life is found. How does God say I should do marriage and family? That's where life is found. What does God say I should do with my finances? That's where life is found. Blessing and prosperity as well. Don't let the devil lie to you. Don't let the enemy, my brother, my sister, don't let the enemy persuade you that his way of death and destruction and cursing is actually the way of life and blessing and prosperity. It's not. Don't be deceived by him. Don't let him lie to you like that. Every day, any given moment of every day, a choice between life and death, blessing and cursing, prosperity and destruction. And notice it's a choice that reaches beyond us to impact even those around us, our family, our children. Verse 19, this day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you. I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Now choose life. Listen. So that you and your children may live. Can I say it once more? Every day, any given moment of every day, a choice. And this choice, it's no small, it's no insignificant thing. Listen, Dad. Listen, Mom, the life, the blessing, and the prosperity of your children are at stake. Death, destruction, cursing. Life, blessing, prosperity hang in the balance, not just for you, but for your family. For your children, Deuteronomy 30, it's a choice given. And number two this morning, it's a choice commanded. Once more, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. Call heaven and earth as witnesses against you. Set before you life and death, blessing and curses. Here it is. Now choose life so that your children may live. Choose life. The understood choice that is presented to us each and every day, each and every moment, even of every day, a choice to be made. And here, a choice commanded. Listen, my brother, my sister, today, choose life. When you go home, on your way home, choose life. When you're out and about tomorrow, at the work, at the grocery store, choose life. How you say, how you do, how you act, how you talk, how you respond to people. Let people see Jesus in you. Choose life. Let God get the glory from you and the good works that you do. Choose life, my brother, my sister. Listen to the command of the Lord this morning. Choose life. What a beautiful picture of God's heart for you and for me. God's will for us, God's desire for us, that we choose life. In Ezekiel 18, I take no pleasure in the death of anyone, declares the sovereign Lord. Repent and live. In 2 Samuel 14 and verse 14, but God does not take away life. Instead, he devises ways so that a banished person may not remain estranged from him. One says this, contrary to what many think, God does not delight in the death of any wicked person. Much to the contrary, he pleads with everyone to repent and live. Can I say it this way? Every day, any given moment of every day, a choice between life and death, blessing and cursing, prosperity and destruction. A choice that influences, that impacts those around you, your family, your children, every day. Any given moment of every day, a choice. And listen, God is on your side, that you would choose right and that you would choose well. God is cheering you on. God is helping you. God is speaking to you. God's instructing you. The New Testament picture of Jesus at the right hand of the Father, he's interceding for you. He's praying for you. Father, today, in this moment, help Denny to make the right choice so that he and his family, his children, and even their children can experience life, blessing, and prosperity. How good to know that, right? Philippians chapter 4 reminds us, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Listen, God is strengthening you so you can. Yes, you can. You can even always make the right choice. God's heart is for us and God's help, very specifically in the very clear instruction given, how we choose the right, how we choose the life, how we choose the blessing and the prosperity. Again, Deuteronomy 30, verse 20. You can make this choice. Here it is. Choose life, my brother, my sister. You ask, well, pastor, how do I choose life? I'm glad you asked. Deuteronomy 30 and verse 20. You can make this choice by loving the Lord your God, obeying him, and holding fast to him. Listen, my brother, my sister, make the right choice. Choose life. Love him. Love him with all your heart. That's the emotion of love. Listen, love Jesus with a passion. Not half-heartedly, not apathetically, not lukewarmly. No, no way. Love him with a passion, with joy and celebration, with shouting, with weeping, brokenness before him. Don't be afraid of that. No, instead that it's part of the right choice, loving him. Do you remember maybe when you first started dating your spouse? Listen, you made everyone around you uncomfortable because of the touchy-feely, sweetie, honey buns, all the nonsense. You were making all of us gag, but you didn't care. You didn't see it because you were so in love. Listen, can I say it this way? You'll understand what I mean. Make people around you uncomfortable because of your passionate love for Jesus. Love him. Love him with your soul. That's the real you. That's the eternal part of you. The place where desires and dreams reside. Love God with your emotions, yes, but let the love go even deeper, beyond the enjoyment, the passion of worship, beyond the excitement of service, beyond the thrill of the emotion of love. Let that love even permeate the very center of all that you are. Let a love for God be the thing that makes up, that consumes the very core of your being. Love him with all your mind. That's your understanding. It's a love that stems from a mind cleansed and purified, a mind conformed to him and his will, a mind set on the things, desires of God. We love him with the thoughts we think. We love him with the things we study. We love him with the things we put in our mind. We love him with the usage, the creative usage of our mind. Love him with all your strength. That's to love him with all human ability. With all physical capability, literally it's focusing all your energy on God. Loving him with every ounce, every inch, every fiber of your being. It's all of you, inside, outside, mentally, physically. It's everything. It's all of you actively involved in loving him. Love him exclusively above any and everything else. Those that we would identify as having loved God throughout Scripture, they prayed. They sought the Lord. They hungered and thirsted after him. Like the deer pants for the water brook, so their soul longed for God. Love him like that. They worshiped him. They served him. They said yes to him. They endured for him. They persevered for him. They gave to him. They surrendered to him. It was John Wesley who prayed, "I am no longer my own, but yours. Put me to what you will. Rank me with whom you will. Put me to doing. Put me to suffering. Let me be employed for you or laid aside for you, exalted for you or brought low for you. Let me be full. Let me be empty. Let me have all things. Let me have nothing. I freely and wholeheartedly yield all things to your pleasure and disposal. And now, glorious and blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you are mine and I am yours. So be it. And the covenant now made on earth, let it be ratified in heaven. Amen." Listen, my brother, my sister, choose right, choose life, blessing and prosperity. Love the Lord like that. Love him. You see it in Deuteronomy, and obey him. Obey him completely and quickly and wholeheartedly. Obey his word. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 7, "Only be strong and very courageous that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left that you may prosper wherever you go." In Ezekiel 20, "I gave them my decrees and made known to them my laws, for the man who obeys them will live by them." Obey his word. Obey his spirit. Listen, my brother, my sister, be sensitive to the promptings of the Spirit. Be diligent always to obey the prompting of the Spirit. Let me encourage, let me instruct you in two things here. Number one, the Spirit will always align with the Word of God. If the Spirit is not aligning with the Word, you are not hearing from the Spirit. Be careful. Number two, don't delay in doing what is right. I wonder, maybe this is just me, but in fact, I wonder if in fact, in many ways, it's all of us. Let me explain. Your neighbor, a friend, a brother or sister, you sense the need to go and pray for them. In the context of right now, we would say it this way: there's a prompting that you sense from the Holy Spirit to go and pray for them. You don't know why. You don't know necessarily what's going on. You just sense you need to go over to the brother. You need to go over to the sister. You need to go to the neighbor. You need to go to the stranger right there in the grocery store aisle. And you need to pray for them. Listen, that's right. To pray for a neighbor, to pray for a friend, to pray for a brother or sister, to pray for a stranger, that's right. So go for it. Don't hesitate. Don't check up. Don't delay. Don't excuse yourself. "Well, I just wasn't sure if it was the Lord or not. I just wasn't sure if the Holy Spirit, if it was the Spirit prompting me or if it was just me coming up with a weird, wild idea to go and pray for them." Listen, my brother, my sister, to pray is right. Let me say it this way. You ought not need the Holy Spirit prompting you to pray. You ought to be a prayer without the Holy Spirit's prompting. So when you sense that, when you sense the need to go and speak life, listen, this is the command of Scripture. There is power in your mouth to speak life or to speak death. And so therefore you are to speak life. You don't need any prompting of the Spirit to go and speak life to a brother, to a sister, to a friend, to a neighbor. Do you understand? Do you see what I'm saying? So many times we check up. So many times we neglect. So many times we miss out. "Well, I just wasn't sure it was the Lord." Listen, if it's right, go for it. You understand? If it's right, whether the Lord prompted it or not, it's still right and good for you to do that thing. Let's be a people actively engaged with people, speaking life, praying. Listen, you've been anointed to preach the good news. You've been anointed to put your hands on the sick and in Jesus' name, see them be made well. You've been anointed to set the demonized free. Do you understand this authority that is yours in Jesus? Do you understand this power that is yours in Jesus? Let's be a people actively engaged with people so that God can do that work in us. And when we sense the prompting of His Spirit, let's obey His Spirit. We obey Him. We love Him. We choose right. We choose life. We choose blessing. We choose prosperity. We choose it for ourselves. We choose it for our family, for our children. Love Him, obey Him, and hold fast to Him. The language of Scripture, it's to cling to Him. It's to stick to Him. Listen, don't let anything, not ever, come between you and Him. Don't let anything, not ever, separate you from Him. Create distance between you and Him. That's the wrong choice. That's death and destruction. That's not life or blessing. Cling to Him, my brother, my sister. Hold Him and don't let anything pry your fingers from Him. Interesting, the language of Scripture also includes this. It's to follow close. It's to follow hard after Him. Even this, it's to catch by pursuit. Listen, chase after Jesus and don't stop chasing until you've chased Him down, until you've caught Him. In Psalm 63, O God, Thou art my God, early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee. My flesh longeth for Thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see Thy power and Thy glory, so as I have seen Thee in the sanctuary. Because Thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise Thee. Thus will I bless Thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in Thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise Thee with joyful lips when I remember Thee upon my bed and meditate on Thee in the night watches, because Thou hast been my help. Therefore, in the shadow of Thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after Thee. In Psalm 73 and verse 25, whom have I in heaven but You? And earth has nothing I desire besides You. You know what will mess up your chase of Jesus? Your chase after the things of this world. Would it be that the psalmist's heart becomes our very own? This world has nothing for me. This world has nothing I desire. I'm not going to get lost. I'm not going to get caught up in chasing after this world. It's things. It's stuff. I'm chasing after Jesus. Nothing else in the world, nothing is going to satisfy. Nothing is worth chasing after like Jesus is worth chasing after. And so we chase Him. We follow hard after Him. That's how you choose life. That's how you choose blessing. That's how you choose prosperity. One last time, we're done. Deuteronomy 30. See, I've set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. This day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you. I've set before you life and death, blessing and curses. You choose life so that you and your children may live. And you make this choice by loving the Lord your God, obeying Him, and holding fast to Him. Listen now, here it is. For the Lord is your life. And He will give you many years in the land He swore to give your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Do you see? Do you understand? You love the Lord. You obey the Lord. You hold fast to the Lord because the Lord, He is your life, the source of your blessing. Listen, apart from Him, some of you need to hear me this morning. Apart from Jesus, outside of Jesus, you cannot live. You cannot experience blessing. No, no way. Apart from Him, outside of Him, listen, please hear me this morning. There's only death. There's only cursing. There's only destruction. So listen, love the Lord. My brother, my sister, obey the Lord. Hold fast to the Lord. Listen, my friend, choose the Lord and live. Be blessed. Be prosperous. As the story is told, it all started with a $10 bet. with the author Ernest Hemingway. A $10 bet whether or not he could write a full story in just 6 words. He won the bet with this: for sale, baby shoes, never worn. In this spirit of simple yet profound brevity, an online magazine asked readers to write a story of their own lives, just 6 words. The response was overwhelming. The immediate result, the book, not quite what I was planning. It's a collection of 6-word memoirs by famous and not so famous writers, artists, musicians. Their stories, sometimes sad, often funny, always concise. Just 6 words. One wrote, "One tooth, one cavity, life's cruel." Life's very cruel. "No wife, no kids, no problems." I like this one. "Was cat-like, napped, ate, avoided humans. Finally learned weird is a compliment. The psychic said I'd be richer." How about this? "Mirror held truth, mind held fantasy." Aaron experienced that not but a week and a half or so ago. The mirror revealed one thing, but his mind was telling him he's just a 20-year-old kid that can do whatever he wants. In the end, his back told him, "Hey, listen, your mind is wrong, the mirror is right." The experience was worth the risk. "Fell down often, got up always." A 9-year-old wrote, "Cursed with cancer, blessed with friends." One more. "Thought I would have more impact." I heard about that this last week, and the pastor who shared it in the context of Deuteronomy. I want my story to read life and blessing and prosperity. I want my children's story to read life and blessing and prosperity. So for me, I pray this becomes my story and yours. I believe it was the story Moses tried to convey to the Israelites, even just a 6-word one. Love him, obey him, hold him. Father, this morning I pray, would you help us in that? I pray it for me. You know it. How I need to hear the word this morning. I have to choose life. All too often I choose death. I'm sorry for that. Lord, let my eyes to be open. Let me to see more clearly. Speak to my heart this morning, Lord, I pray. That I hear the command from your word. Choose life. Help me to love you. Help me to obey you. Help me to hold fast to you. And Lord, I pray it for my brother and for my sister in this room. Help us this morning. Help my brother to choose life. Help my sister to choose life. Lord, I pray it for each one. I pray that you minister powerfully in this place, that our lives would be radically different, Jesus. Radically different. That we would be changed in this moment. Some of us, we have made the death decisions. Some of us, I believe that your spirit would be speaking to our heart right now. That's a death decision. That's the cursing decision. That's the destruction decision. You're speaking that to our hearts right now. We're sensing it. Something in our life, an area of our life. It's how we talk. It's how we think. It's what we've accepted as right. We're realizing according to your word, but that's wrong. It's death. It's destruction. It's cursing. Lord, I pray that you help my brother, my sister this morning. You're speaking to their heart. I believe you are. Help them to step into life. Help them to choose life right here, right now.
Help us to choose life, Jesus. Help us to choose life. Would you ask the Lord this morning to help you? Can I invite you, my brother, my sister, as the Lord would speak to your heart this morning? Maybe something that needs to change. You need to take care of some business this morning. Maybe you find yourself having drifted from the Lord. You once knew Him. You once longed for Him. You once loved Him. You once lived your life to obey Him. You once chased after Him, held tightly to Him. But something has come in and loosened your grip of the Lord. Something has caught your eye and distracted you, and you're chasing after other things. And this morning you realize, you recognize the Spirit of the Lord speaking to you. What you're really doing, you're chasing after death. You've let go of Him. You've let go of life to take hold of cursing and destruction. And this morning, you sense it. You sense it. I know you do. That it's time to come back to Jesus. It's time to make things right with Jesus. Would you do that this morning? Would you do that? Specific areas of your life, things in your life that are amiss, that are wrong. Come back to His way. Choose life, my brother, my sister. Choose life. Ask Him to help you to love Him, to obey Him, to hold fast to Him. Jesus, help us this morning. Please help us this morning. We choose life. We choose life today. Lord, I pray it for each one today. I pray it for me. Help us, Father. Help us every moment of every day. Any moment of any given day, the choice. We hear the command from the Lord. We choose life. And in every choice then, we love You. We obey You. We hold fast to You. Help us, Lord, in that. In Jesus' name, would you stand to your feet? Would you lift your hands to receive the blessing of the Lord this morning? As under shepherd, the great shepherd, as high priest of this assembly, I declare over you the word and the will of the Lord. Listen, my brother, my sister, listen now. The Lord bless you and keep you. Hallelujah. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be good and gracious to you. And the Lord turn to you and give to you His peace in Jesus' name. Would you receive that? Would you say amen? Amen and amen. God bless you this morning.